Okay, so this is Sunday the 12th of May, and today's topic we're going to study about blasphemy. So let's pray and then we'll begin. Father God, I pray, Lord, as we deal with this topic, Lord, please give us sensitivity, Lord, to understand if we're guilty of this, Lord, and help us, Father God, to take your name seriously and not take your name in vain, Lord. We don't want to become blasphemers by our bad attitudes, and we also need to understand what exactly this is that you said and warned about so much in Scripture. So I pray, Lord, please open up our hearts and minds and give us understanding and the power to repent of these sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today we're talking about blasphemy. The Bible talks a lot about blasphemy. It says, for example, that in the last days there will be many blasphemers, and it's one of these serious, hard topics that the New Testament especially deals with. So I think, just to begin with, we need to understand what blasphemy is, because it's something that perhaps we hear the word, but we don't really have a good idea of just exactly what it means to be guilty of blasphemy. So let's have a look at the word itself first. The word blasphemy, it occurs many times in Scripture, and it's pretty much just a transliteration of the Greek term blasphemo or blasphemos. The word comes from two Greek words. The first is blapto, which means to injure something, and feme, which means in English fame, someone's reputation. So basically, blasphemy literally means to injure someone's reputation, to defame someone, to speak evil of someone, to accuse someone impiously. That's the idea of blasphemy. So I must admit, when I was younger, and even until I studied this in a bit more depth, I thought blasphemy was something that you could only do against God. But in fact, it's used equally, if not more, concerning other people as well. So we have to be aware of blasphemy against God and also blasphemy against other people. First of all, turn to Revelation chapter 16. We find the word occurring three times here in this chapter. Revelation chapter 16, verses 9, 11, and 21. Verse 9. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Verse 11. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Verse 21. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. So in the context here, just to understand the idea of blasphemy against God, God is judging the world. And man is looking at God without any appreciation of his judgment, obviously, and cursing him for his judgment. It would be the same way as if a person who was judged guilty in court goes out of the court screaming and cursing the judge. That's blasphemy. The problem is that men don't recognize God's right and God's righteousness to judge the world. And so when God gives the judgment, of course, they curse him for it, and they accuse God of all kinds of evil and injustice and horrible things because of his judgment. Okay, let's look now at another example. Acts 26, verse 11. This is in the case of Paul. Acts 26, 11. Talking about his persecution of the Christians. Reading from verse 10. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. and I punished them often in all the synagogues. I tried to force them to blaspheme, and being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them, even to foreign cities. And so Paul was guilty of causing or trying to force, compel Christians to blaspheme. Obviously, in that context there, it means to deny their faith in Christ. So to blaspheme is to deny God's right to be the ruler, to deny God's character, to deny that he is Lord. Paul was forcing Christians to renounce their faith. That is blasphemy. If a person renounces their faith and they no longer publicly acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ or that God is King, then that's blasphemy. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:20. Let's have a look at one more. 1 Timothy 1:20. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. Okay, so what were these people guilty of? They were guilty of false doctrine. They were guilty of teaching strange teachings and just wrong things. In verse 19, he says, keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to the faith. Okay, so these people came in, they started to divide the church, they started teaching things they shouldn't be teaching, and as a result, they blaspheme. When we start to get into false teaching, we're blaspheming because we're attributing to God things that are not true. We're defaming God by speaking things about him that are not true. So when the world says that God is powerless or that God is evil or that God is unjust or any of these commonly spoken things, that's blasphemy. Okay. But blasphemy also can be equally done against man. So let's look at some examples of that. Acts 13:45. In Acts 13:45, says, the next Sabbath day, in verse 44, the next Sabbath day nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Okay. And then in verse 46, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. So here it's interesting. These people, they get challenged by the word of God, but when they see so many of the Gentiles start to follow Paul, they became jealous. And they start to contradict and blaspheme. They start to say things that are silly. They start to use wrong arguments. They start to accuse Paul and Barnabas of not understanding Scripture or misrepresenting God. And, of course, that is blasphemy. Paul, on the other hand, he says to them that you have rejected the truth, and therefore you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. That's not blasphemy. Why is that not blasphemy? Because it's true. Paul gave them the simple truth. They rejected it. And by definition, if you reject the truth, you reject eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you reject the truth, you reject the life. So blasphemy must be speaking false things about other people, speaking things that are not true. Okay. 1 Peter 4:4 gives us another example of blasphemy against people. 1 Peter 4:4. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, getting drunk, etc. And they malign you. That's the word blasphemy. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Okay, so the Gentiles chasing parties, chasing pleasure, chasing immorality, and they think that we're strange when we don't follow them. And when they start to say that we're crazy and strange because we don't follow them, that becomes blasphemy, because they are defaming us. They're calling us stupid or whatever because we don't follow the normal ways of the world. So when you speak against another person and say that they're crazy, they're stupid, they think they're this or that, that's blasphemy. You're defaming that person simply because of a subjective argument. Okay, and of course there is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 12:31 and also in Mark. So blasphemy can be done against God, against man, or against the Holy Spirit. Where does blasphemy come from? What's the origin of blasphemy? Well, before we go on, we need to understand this as well, because it kind of sets the stage for understanding what this whole thing is all about. Mark chapter 7, Mark 7, and verse 20-23 says, "That which proceeds out of the man is that what defiles the man, or that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile the man." Okay, so in this case, let's have a look at, find out, this was a different translation, so let's look at which word was actually blasphemy there. I believe it was, what was that, Matthew, sorry, Mark chapter 7, Mark 7, and, okay, all right, in verse 22, it was the word slander. Okay, so slander is blasphemy. So when you speak bad against another person, when you slander the other person, that is the word blasphemy. This one says, instead of envy, it says an evil eye. Instead of blasphemy, it says slander. Different way of explaining the same thing. But notice where it comes from. It comes from within the heart of man. Now, this is important, because that means that within our old nature, in every single one of us, there's not a single person who doesn't have their old nature. There is this well of wickedness, and this well of wickedness is the origin of blasphemy. So don't think that you're not capable of blaspheming. Every one of us has within us a heart full of evil, wickedness, pride, envy, and blasphemy. Just very quickly, on that note, look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and it says in verse 11, "Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men?" Sheol is Hades, it's death, the place of the dead, the place where people die in their sins. Abaddon is the bottomless pit, it's the deep pit, not the bottomless pit, but the deep pit. It's hell. I mean, not the eternal hell, the lake of fire, but it's the present hell, the present place that people go when they're dead, and those who have believed in Christ have been rescued from it. So Hades doesn't have any power over them anymore. But notice that Proverbs 15 here compares hell, this pit of hell, to the heart of man. The demons and these locusts in Revelation, we see these demonic beings coming out of hell, coming out of the pit, and causing destruction upon the earth. But actually, that's the same as the human heart. When pride, when slander, when evil speaking, when envy, when deceit, when theft or covetousness or idolatry or adultery or fornication or hatred or murder, when any of these things come out of our heart, it's like the demons coming out of hell to cause destruction. And you have an old nature, I have an old nature, Christians and unbelievers, we all have an old nature. And so we all have the propensity to blaspheme, to speak evil of another person. You might think evil of another person, but you're not guilty of blasphemy until you open your mouth. You may notice evil things about other people, but you're not guilty of blasphemy until that pit opens up and those evil things come out and defile the person. Our job as a Christian is to hold that evil within us, to put a lid on the old nature and nail it to the cross. It's there, it will be there until we die, but we need to, by the power and grace of God, overpower it, overcome it, and rule it, and keep it shut. So, blasphemy. Let's continue then with this and look at how we're specifically told to avoid it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let's have a look. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor, and slander, that's blasphemy, be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Okay, so many times we're bitter, we're angry, we feel treated badly by others, but until we actually speak that evil out, we're not guilty of blasphemy. That evil thought might be there, but on the contrary, we're told by the grace of God to forgive, to be tender-hearted toward each other. Just as God has forgiven us for all of our evil, we can forgive others for all of their evil. So the first way that we can fight against this sin of blasphemy is not to hold other people's sins against them. God has taken our sin away, so we need to not hold the sins of others against them. If you, in your heart, don't hold the sins of others against them, that's being tender-hearted, compassionate, merciful, then you won't speak evil against them. Okay? Now, what kind of situations arise which cause blasphemy to happen? Let's look at some specifics so that we can be careful. One of them is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. 1 Timothy 6, and verse 4. Okay. He is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Okay, so we're talking about people who are in the church here, but people who, rather than receiving the life of God's word, they receive the honor of arguing God's word. They want to be right. They want to show that they can understand scripture. They have a morbid interest in controversial questions, things which are not foundational to the faith. They would rather argue about rather than engage in the basics of the Christian life. When that kind of attitude and that kind of behavior comes out, envy, being envious of other people, envious of their followers, envious of their honor perhaps, strife, fighting, abusive language, evil suspicions. These are the things that come from this party spirit of wanting to be on the right side, wanting to be on the strong side, wanting to be on the powerful side. Be careful, because blasphemy is a direct result of this love of controversy. Let's look at another one. Here is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians 10, talking about food in this case, 27 to 30, it says, if an unbeliever invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you, without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, this meat is sacrificed to idols, do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you, and for conscience sake. I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Here's a case in which one person has a standard. We shouldn't eat this food because it's sacrificed to an idol or it's unclean or whatever. Another person has the faith that all things are clean and that those Old Testament principles no longer apply to our daily life. The idea of uncleanness is a spiritual lesson, but today the New Testament has declared all foods clean, so one has the faith to eat it. So we have a difference of opinion. But here it says, why am I slandered, or why am I blasphemed, concerning that for which I give thanks? If a person speaks badly about you because you are eating something which they consider to be wrong, then they are actually blaspheming you. However, in this case, Paul says, if such a case arises, don't eat it, because you will be causing the other person to blaspheme by persisting in a controversial action. So, for example, drinking beer, for example. There are some Christians who wouldn't touch beer. There are other Christians who, they don't get drunk, of course, but in moderation, they drink beer sometimes or even frequently. If you were a beer-drinking Christian and you were in the presence of those who really believe that it's wrong to drink beer, you will be tempting those to blaspheme if you persist in your liberty to drink beer around them, because they will have to deal with this in their heart. They will have to struggle with the fact that something that they believe is wrong is going on around them, and it's likely that they're going to blaspheme you. They're going to speak evil of you. So Paul advises us here, don't let that situation arise. The sin of blasphemy is a far more serious thing than whether or not we drink beer, or whether or not we drink meat that was sacrificed to an idol, or whether or not we drink whatever or eat whatever food that some people think is wrong and others think is okay. The far more serious thing is the sin of blasphemy. Let's be on our guard against it. It happens so much when there is a division within a body of Christ and different people have different arguments, but especially when people seek those arguments because they love the arguments. That's when blasphemy thrives. Okay. The same thing is said in Romans 14:16. Paul says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Don't let your liberty, the fact that you are able to eat this food or that food, don't let that be evil spoken of. Don't let that be blasphemed. We can easily change our way of life, but don't let it come to the place where other people are tempted to blaspheme because of us. It would be better for us to let go of our liberties rather than that. That's the idea. Blasphemy is a serious problem, and in the last days, it's going to get worse. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, and then the next one is blasphemers. It says in here revilers, but the word is also blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So in the last days, these things are going to increase and increase and increase. Around us, there will be a spirit of blasphemy, a spirit of accusation, a spirit of accusing others of all kinds of things because we disagree or because they're different. Let's be careful not to allow that to influence us. That's the idea. Okay, continuing on. Another situation which lends itself to the proliferation of blasphemy is when we do not submit to rulers. So you might not think that naturally flows, but Scripture indicates it. Let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Okay, it says here, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, ready for every good deed, and then to blaspheme no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." So, notice here, it begins by saying what we should do is, what we should remind them to do, is to be subject to rulers, subject to authorities, and to be obedient to the authorities, to be ready for every good deed, and, on the other hand, never to blaspheme. One flows from the other. Let's look at Jude 1:8, where we see the same thing. Jude 1:8, or Jude chapter verse 8. Jude verse 8 says, "Yet in the same way, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and blaspheme or revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, that is, a blasphemy, but said simply, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these men revile the things that they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed." The natural instinct is to speak what comes out of our heart, but by this we're destroyed. These people reject authority. They despise authority. They despise the power of angelic majesties. And so we have people who speak out against demons, they speak out against the devil, like as if the devil is, you know, a little guy in red pajamas with a fork in his hand who you can just kick around. They don't have any concept of his power, of his authority in this world, and of his power to take captive even us. It's only by God's grace that we are saved from the devil's clutches. And so when we despise authority, when we despise and underestimate the powers and authorities that there are in this world, the natural thing to do is to speak out against them. But we're told, even regarding the devil, that we're not to do that. We're to respect authority, respect power. If the devil has been given power by God, we are to respect that power and fear it. Not fear the devil, doesn't mean to be afraid of him, because we fear God, but to understand and appreciate the fact that the devil has a great amount of power and a great amount of authority, and we need to be careful lest we underestimate it and fall for his tricks. It's by God's grace and his continual preservation of us that we are protected and saved, not by any wisdom or strength of our own. So it is that when people despise authority, they blaspheme. We see the same thing. This is a spiritual example regarding angels and that. But in the world, it's the same. When people disregard the authority that a government has been given by God, then the natural thing to do is to blaspheme that government, to slander the government. Our newspapers and the TV every day slander politicians. Now, you know, we say, well, we live in a free country, we can say what we want. And yeah, we do live in a free country, and we can say what we want to some extent, but the Bible teaches us not to defame another. Aside from the general principles that governments can stand in the way of the gospel, or that, for example, Herod and Pilate stood against Christ and fulfilled prophecy in doing so, aside from those general things, where in the New Testament do we find a character attack on any politician? We don't. We don't find that at all. We don't find men, especially Christians, or even Christ, blaspheming by defaming the character of those who are in authority. On the other hand, continually we're told to respect the authority that God has given to these people, even if they are wicked people. Their authority still must be respected. So, if you despise the authority of the police, you will easily speak out against them and blaspheme them. It may be that there are some injustices and evils that go on within the police force, but on the other hand, we are not to defame those in authority. It's a sin. Even though they're wicked, even though it's unjust, even though things happen that are wrong, but we are not to speak out against them and to defame them. We are to respect the authority of God behind them. And that is a very important principle. If you disrespect the authority of the government or the political party that's in power, you might easily make jokes about them and accuse them of all manner of evil and wickedness, hypocrisy, and call them stupid and ignorant and all these things. That amounts to blasphemy. It's so common in the world, isn't it? You see it in the newspapers, on the TV, on the internet especially, every single day. So it is, the Bible said, in the last days, these things will increase and increase. We are living in a world of unparalleled blasphemy. It's not held back at all. Everybody has the right to speak out against anybody they like, to belittle anyone they like, to defame anyone they like, and no one can tell me what to do. No one can stop me from saying what I'm free to say. We live in a world of blasphemy. And as a Christian, we need to understand what blasphemy is and make sure we don't do it ourselves. Okay, so continuing on then. Another situation, this is the third one and the final one, that lends itself to blasphemy is when we act hypocritically. Let's look at Revelation 2:9. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Okay, so those Jews who claimed to be God's people, who claimed to be on God's side, who claimed the name and the character of God, but in fact were gathering in the character and name of the devil, that hypocrisy causes blasphemy. They're blaspheming because they're attributing God's great name to their own wicked life. If we don't follow in Christ's ways, then we're calling ourselves a Christian, we're taking the name of Christ, and yet we're living a hypocritical life. We are blaspheming in doing that. And not only that, we're causing other people to see that hypocrisy, and they're going to blaspheme as well, because they're going to accuse Christians and ultimately God of the same kind of hypocrisy. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 21 to 24. Romans 2:21-24. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. That was an Old Testament scripture. So when we say we should keep the law, but we break it, we cause people to see that hypocrisy and blaspheme God's name. We're causing blasphemy to happen by living a hypocritical life. It would be better not to open our mouth, rather than to open our mouth, proclaim this is right, this is wrong, and then to go and live the opposite way. That is blasphemy. Let's look at 2 Peter 2:2. 2 Peter 2:2. These are false teachers he's dealing with here. 2 Peter 2:2. Many will follow their sensuality. Well, let's begin in verse 1 so we can see the context. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. Because of these false teachers, because of the way they love money, because of their fake miracles, because of their proud, arrogant words, because of their attitudes, because of their lies, the way of the truth is blasphemed. We must be so careful. If I open my mouth and publicly use an argument to prove the gospel, and that argument turns out to be completely fabricated, then people are going to despise the Bible because of me. They're going to blaspheme because of me. And I have to be so careful not to do that. Whatever you say, make sure that it's true. Whatever you say, make sure it's necessary to say. Because if it's not, then people are going to be blaspheming on your account. So, when a person lives a hypocritical life or has hypocritical teaching, God's name is blasphemed. There's two more examples when this is specifically warned about, so let's look at them. 1 Timothy 6:1. 1 Timothy 6:1 says, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine shall not be blasphemed, spoken against. Okay, so if you're a servant, if you're a slave, if you're a worker, make sure you work hard, make sure you work honestly, make sure you work faithfully. If not, people will look at us and say, here's a Christian, and this is the fruit of his Christianity. And if we're lazy, or if we're dishonest, or if we're unfaithful, they will then understand Christianity to be a religion of laziness, unfaithfulness, and dishonesty. They will blaspheme because of us. The other one is Titus 2:5. Titus 2:5. Again, the same principle in not respecting authority. This one says, this is Hebrews. Yeah, Titus 2:5. Okay, well, beginning with verse 3, older women are likewise to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Okay, so when a wife doesn't submit to her husband, the name of God, the doctrine of God, is blasphemed. That's what the word is, blasphemed. Again, it doesn't matter what kind of house we live in. It doesn't matter what town we live in. Abraham lived in a tent. Yael, a great woman of God, lived in a tent. David lived in a palace. Other people, Jesus had no place where he could lay his head. Every Christian has a different situation. More than the circumstances of our lifestyle, the important thing is that we live a godly life. At the end of our life, we will begin an eternity to enjoy heaven in all the great blessings that there will be. Let's not be so concerned about the circumstance of our life, because often one of the reasons that wives will not submit to their husbands is because they say, my husband doesn't understand, he doesn't get it right, he'll make a mistake, I can't trust him financially. You have to trust him financially. You have to trust his judgment. And it may be that because of that trust, he will make one or many mistakes. And it may be that you will not live in such a great circumstance that you might have had you, in your great wisdom, handled the finances and everything else. Nevertheless, the Bible says that the respect of authority is the great eternal attribute that God desires in us. And so it's better to have a little and to be righteous and blessed by God than it is to have a lot and yet not to submit to the natural order of things. Again, this system is only temporal. It's not going to last for very long. But what happens when wives are not submissive to their husbands is the doctrine of God is blasphemed. When we see different people who have a different way, then it's very necessary that ultimately they can talk, they can discuss, they can pray together, she can share her ideas, and a wise husband will listen very carefully and most of the time follow the advice of his wife, I'm sure, because she probably has thought about it considerably. Nevertheless, when the final decision is made, the husband has to be the one in authority. And if that is not kept, the doctrine of God is blasphemed. It opens up to all kinds of human ideas, which will end up leading us away from the ways of Christ. So, there it is. These are the situations that the Bible specifically warns us about that cause blasphemy to increase. Again, the first one was party spirit, wanting to be right, wanting to be seen as on the right side, wanting to win an argument, to win a debate. When we get into that way of thinking, it's natural that we will start character attacks against the other person. The second one was when we don't accept authority, then when we despise the authority of any official in this world, then we're liable to blaspheme that person, and by speaking evil or making jokes or whatever about them. And finally, if we live a hypocritical life, the world sees that and blasphemes God. Okay, just finally, Antichrist and blasphemy. The Bible says about the Antichrist, it says in Revelation 13:1 that this beast came up out of the sea and he had on his head the name of blasphemy. He's stamped with the name of blasphemy. What is that? It says in Revelation 17:3 that there was a woman, a harlot, riding on a scarlet beast, and it was full of the names of blasphemy, with 7 heads and 10 horns. The names of blasphemy were written all over it. What does it mean? In Revelation 13:6, it says that this beast blasphemes God's name, blasphemes God's tabernacle, and blasphemes them that dwell in heaven. He speaks evil against God's character, God's church, and against God's people. The Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, is consumed with blasphemy. But what is this blasphemy? In many ways, it can be understood by what they accuse Jesus of. In John 10:33, they said, "You, being a man, make yourself out to be God." And that's why they took up stones to stone him. The Jews accused Jesus of blasphemy because he, being a man, made himself God. Well, it wasn't blasphemy because he was God. Okay, now if I had done that, that would be blasphemy. If you had said those things, it would be blasphemy. But Jesus is God. He's the eternal God. Fulfilling prophecy, he came to this world as a man, but he was God. And so when he equated himself with God, it wasn't blasphemy. Nevertheless, there was other examples. For example, in I think it was in Mark 2, when Jesus said, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." The people got angry and they said, "Oh, he's blaspheming, because who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, that's true. He was God. He was God. Now, in the New Testament, in Christ's name, in Christ's character, forgiven, born-again believers who all have the Holy Spirit, we all are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we also have the authority to pronounce people forgiven or not forgiven, based on whether they accept the truth or not. Just like Paul said, because you reject the truth and show yourself unworthy of eternal life. He's simply making the clear statement, you reject the gospel, then you reject eternal life. You accept the gospel, you accept eternal life. Okay, so we can all say that. That's not blasphemy. However, there is a kind of blasphemy which exists in Antichrist. Let's consider the idea of confession within the Catholic Church. This is where people take a special authority to themselves, that they have a special power to forgive sins. The priests who take upon themselves a special authority to be able to forgive sins, that is in fact blasphemy, because they're taking to themselves some special attribute of God which they wouldn't attribute to any other believer. Only God can forgive sins, that's the truth. Sins are not forgiven by a person, they're forgiven by God. We, as believers, have all the authority to understand that a person has repented and therefore pronounce them forgiven based on the completed work of Christ. But when a priest stands and gives a particular penance, a particular kind of ritual that if they do this, if they say this prayer so many times, then they'll be forgiven, that is in fact blasphemy, because they're taking upon themselves the character of God, but they are not God. Okay, we see the same thing in Buddhism. Buddhism, man becomes God. We become God. In Islam, God has no son, blaspheming the nature and character of God. In Catholicism, by claiming where the Pope claims that he is the Vicarius Christus, the vicar of Christ, this is, in fact, blasphemy. Because he's assuming the position of Christ alone in this world. Animism is blasphemy, where we treat God as if he is just part of the creation. And of course, humanism is blasphemy, the basic religion of the modern Western world and much of the Eastern world today, I guess, too, where man assumes himself to be God. Antichrist sits in a temple making himself out to be God. In most of the times when Jesus was accused of blasphemy, it was because he, being a man, made himself out to be God. In fact, he was God, so that wasn't a problem. But when people today make themselves out to be God, they are blaspheming. Okay, finally, let's look at what happens in Mark 3, and we'll finish with this. Mark 3, and we'll read from verse 13 to 35. Mark 3, 13. And he went up on a mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, so that they would be with him, and that he could send them out to preach, and to have authority to cast out the demons. And he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. And he came home and the crowd, they entered the house actually, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. When his own family heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, "He has lost his senses." The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He's possessed by Beelzebul, and he casts out the demons by the ruler of demons." And he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he's finished. But no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he'll plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mothers and brothers arrived, and standing outside they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you.' Answering them, he said, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, 'Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and mother.'" Okay, in this example, it deals with the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. First of all, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it says, because they were saying, "He has an unclean spirit." The ones who blasphemed the Holy Spirit here were the scribes, because they knew that Jesus had come, they knew he fulfilled prophecy, they understood that he was doing what the Bible said. Nevertheless, in their wickedness, they made up a lie and promoted this lie that Jesus had an unclean spirit. He was blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, calling the work of the devil, calling the work of God actually the work of the devil, whereas they knew that it wasn't. Such hardness is very difficult to comprehend, and such people, it seems, never repent, and therefore it's an eternal sin. On the other hand, there were his family who said, "Oh, he's crazy, he's beside himself." His mother and his brothers, for example. Later we know, of course, Jesus' mother, she was there at the cross, she believed. Later, Jesus' brother, James, for example, he later became a Christian and became one of the leaders of the church. They blasphemed too, but their blasphemy was not against the Holy Spirit. It was simply just a misunderstanding. They misjudged Christ and what he was doing. They couldn't understand his work. They didn't, on the other hand, attribute his work to the devil. There's an example of those whose blasphemies were forgiven and those whose blasphemies against the Holy Spirit were not forgiven. Nevertheless, the last thing is this. from this example, we see that when Christ confirmed his disciples, when he actually called them out and confirmed them, there was a sudden surge of blasphemy. And so it is in the last days. When Christ confirms his disciples, when it becomes clear, as the wickedness in the world gets so bad and the faith of believers stands out, and Christ confirms those who really follow him, especially when the mark of the beast comes, there will be a huge surge in blasphemy. So when the mark of the beast comes, and those who take it are sealed with the mark of the beast, and those who don't take it are clearly sealed with the Spirit of God, whether that's visible or simply by their faith and seen through their life, I'm sure that's the case, there will be, at that time, a huge increase in blasphemy. The Antichrist blasphemes against God, he blasphemes against the tabernacle, and he blasphemes against those who dwell in heaven. There will be unbelievably wicked things said about God, about God's character, about God's nature, the fact that God created this world, the fact that God allows evil for his own purposes, the fact that God will judge this world, the fact that God allows disasters to happen and things like that. In fact, he uses them. God throughout history has raised up kingdoms and pulled them down. He has taught the world through his dealings with nations and people. But the world doesn't want to accept that, and they will speak evil against God. That's going to increase. They're also going to be blaspheming against the church. The church will be blasphemed. We'll be accused of all kinds of wickedness and evil. We have to prepare ourselves for that. Those who dwell in heaven, well, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I guess it means Christians, dead or alive. We'll be blasphemed as well. So they will speak evil against us. They will accuse us falsely. We have to be prepared for this. We have to remember that no matter what they say about us, it doesn't matter. We don't say the same about them. Don't follow the way of the world. No matter how much people blaspheme God, no matter how much people blaspheme you, don't blaspheme them. Don't use the same sarcastic, horrible, character-attacking judgments against them that they use against us. We have to be on our guard against blasphemy. It's so easy to turn their things back on themselves and point out their own character flaws and wickedness, but we've got to protect ourselves against it. Let not blasphemy be named among us. Our job is to be tender-hearted towards all and not to hold their sins against them, just as God doesn't hold our sins against us. It says in 1 Peter 4:14 that when they blaspheme us, it's a sign that the glory of God is upon us. Let's be happy about that. Within our hearts, the old nature is a pit full of hate, wickedness, murder, adultery, fornication, covetousness, and blasphemy. Make sure you keep the lid on it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're so it's so easy for us to blaspheme, but I pray that you would help us to be careful to keep that lid on hell that you've put on there and nailing it to the cross. Lord, I pray that we would overcome wickedness, Lord. Give us the grace not to have your name blasphemed and not to blaspheme others. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us and your Holy Spirit that's always there to give us that power to walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.